You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to the Believe podcast, a proud and founding member of the Buffalo Rumblings family of podcasts. My name is John Boccacino, being joined, as I always am, by my good friend, my colleague, my better half, Jamie D'Amico. It is great to have Jamie on as we have finally turned the corner to draft month, buddy. You know, it's nice to finally be looking ahead and thinking that in less than, 4 weeks, we'll be actually able to analyze what Buffalo does in the draft. And Jamie, welcome back to the podcast, buddy.
Man, I got to say, you mentioned that I am always with you. That's not true. I sit out a number of rounds, but hey, thank you for allowing me back in the door.
Buddy, you are the perpetual and eternal co-host of this podcast. And I actually took a couple of weeks off myself, so we didn't record much of Believe in March because, I don't know, I didn't really have a lot to say. And this is the tough struggle, speculative. I mean, we talked about the free agency cuts that took place, and I want to be fair to our listeners. I want to give you a reason to tune in and not just to hear me bloviating about some current events topic that suits me. Like, I want to have a purpose, with our pods. So that's kind of, that and being burned out and wanting a couple of weeks off led to a little hiatus. But Jamie, even when I record without you, you're still always there in spirit.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm thinking of how you would question and crush some of my optimistic leanings.
Yes. That's what I'm here for, to bring the negativity.
The yin and the yang, my friend. The world is a balance, and the Boccacino D'Amico Believe podcast reign shall last 1,000 years or something.
Love it.
But it is. It's great to have Jamie back on. It's great to be talking with you Bills fans. I want to encourage you all, please, to get involved with Jamie and myself on social media. Jamie is at the Jamie D'Amico, and I am at John Boccacino. We're good follows, we think, on social. We won't bite, and we'll definitely make sure to engage in some lively discussions. And Jamie, this week's podcast, I'm excited because our next three episodes have been mapped out, and which is rare for us. We don't normally plan much farther ahead than like a couple hours before a show. But the draft, like I mentioned, is coming up at the end of this month, and we really wanted to start our dive into the draft process. And here's what we're going to get. Here's what you can expect over the next three Believe episodes. This week, we're going to be talking about the offensive prospects that we like as targets for the Bills to go after in the first 2 to 3 rounds, really two, but some of these guys could fall to the third round. So we'll say offensive prospects that we like, that we think would be good fits for the Bills. The following episode is going to be the counterpoint, the defensive prospects that we are enamored with. And then, as you've come to expect, we are going to do our third annual live Believe draft, where we are going to get in the war room, play Brandon Bean, wheel, deal, and make our draft picks. And we want our fans to get involved with each and every one of those episodes. Jamie, it's really a fun time because I don't know about you, but there's only so much I can handle with mock draft season before it's like, all right, just get to the dang draft already.
Oh my gosh, yes. Because nowadays with the draft simulators, not only are you getting mock drafts from every which direction, but the other thing is we end up falling prey to how the individual draft simulators ranks players. I've played with them enough to know that, you know, in the fourth round, these are going to be the players that are going to be available for me to select. And there tends to not be any real variance in it. The problem with that is these simulators are not true to how teams actually grade the players. So you'll have somebody like, okay, Ivan Pace Jr. last year. It looked like he was going to be a second round pick according to the draft simulators. He wasn't drafted at all. Now, granted, he ended up starting for Minnesota and was a good player. So perhaps the NFL had that player misgraded. But the point is, we don't know what's going on within these scouting departments. So it's just a crapshoot as to what we're looking at right now. And there's another downside to it, which is this causes us to fall in love or out of love with players without really spending the time studying them. I'm just as guilty of that as everyone else, really.
Well, and you bring up a valid point in both the over-evaluating and over-ranking of players, because again, as much as I was reading an article the other day about players whose stock was on the rise or fall based on their pro days, and that's just such a ludicrous premise. And, you know, in my opinion, the only way that a player's stock should rise or fall without games actually being played is if you discover something in their medicals. Or I love this. I was listening to one of my favorite national sports podcasts, and they were talking about how scouts, you know, they kind of laugh with all the mock drafts that are put out there, because they'll, you know, you can see a highlight of a player. I mean, any player can look good and should look good in a short highlight reel. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the whole game film, that really tells, you know, the whole story. And obviously Jamie and I don't have the time nor the expertise to accurately study all these prospects, but the scout was saying how one of the best ways they used to judge a prospect, besides, you know, the measurables and the game tape performances, was how he treated like the equipment manager and the mm-hmm. locker room guys and, you know, the parking attendants. I mean, the guys who are not the head coach. Like, he wanted to see how he would get along with the other staff members and administrators, and how does he treat people. You can really glean a lot about whether someone's going to be a head case or they're going to fit in perfectly to your scheme based on how they treat people. And I just love that, because it gave me a glimmer of hope that in this cold and calculating business that is the NFL, there can still be some common sense when it comes to evaluating a prospect.
Well, it is Marv Levy who said, talent without character cannot win. And, you know, character can mean a lot of different things, but you don't want toxic personalities in a locker room, because eventually they clash with everyone. So, yeah, I want somebody who treats people well. And, I mean, isn't that true to life, though?
It's a supply that's in short stock when it comes to our humanity. So be nice to each other. And, Jamie, you lead by example, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Though I don't think I'm anywhere near as nice as you are.
I put on a good face.
Well,
or, you know, I could fool you over the microphone, but I try to be a good person. And, you know, that's the thing with this podcast too. You know, we're sitting here. It's fun for Jamie and I to get together and record Believe, but we are recording this podcast on the heels of some, you know, pretty seismic news. As by now, when this podcast drops, you'll have known that Stephon Diggs was traded away, you know, from the Bills to the Houston Texans. And I don't know, man, I think that whole move is necessitating this conversation about the draft, because if we had recorded this podcast a week earlier, I'm not saying it'd be vastly different, but this changes things dramatically with regards to the prospects and the needs that the Bills have. Does your perspective, I guess, on the needs for Buffalo's roster, how much did that change with the Diggs trade?
Well, the interesting thing about it is the needs didn't change for me. However, I received a message, a telepathic message from Brandon Bean, who listens to this show. And what he told me is, we are confident that we can get a starting caliber receiver in the number 28 position.
I think a lot of Bills fans would like to hear that.
I think they are very confident in what they're going to be able to pull out of this draft. And this draft is so deep, they may not have to even go receiver in the first round.
Which, if you think about it, the Bills have picked 28, as is currently constituted, and pick 60. And it's interesting that in the whole time that Brandon Bean has been calling the draft shots in Buffalo, the Bills have never taken a wide receiver on day one or day two. But you're right, this draft class, I mean, there's so many sick receivers who could come in and really contribute, you know, right away. That the Bills, I thought the Bills were going to take a wide receiver or two before the Diggs deal. And now it's like, well, maybe they could take three. I mean, it's with 11 draft picks and such a deep draft class, you know, you're almost like you need to go out there and just test the limits and see what kind of receivers you can get. So with that being said, Jamie, let's kind of dive into our topic here, and I will give you the honor of leading off. We are going to nominate a bunch of our players that we have like crushes on that are offensive prospects. Jamie, who is your top prospect that you are crushing on the offensive side of the ball?
Okay. I have to go with Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell from Texas, 6'2", 205 pounds. He has 32-inch arms. He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.34 seconds. His vertical leap at 6'2 was almost 40 inches. Holy God. This guy is long. He's lean. He can move. His split times are decent on top of it. So I feel like this is a guy who has a chance to be a very good receiver in the NFL. And also, I like his hands. He seems to catch the ball very fluidly and naturally. I love AD Mitchell. And if he ends up being available at the number 28 pick, I want that one.
Yeah, I think AD, Adonai Mitchell could definitely be, I mean, he should be available at pick 28. There's a lot of similarities, you know, to what I think Stephon Diggs brought to this team that Mitchell brings as well. He's incredibly acrobatic. Obviously, you know, you mentioned his measurables and some of his numbers that really jump off the charts at you. He's a quick mover. He's got great breaks in and out of his route running abilities. He's a really high catch point too. And I feel like he's somebody who, I don't know if he's going to last to pick 28. Nobody knows what's really going to happen on draft day. But I think if the Bills go after this guy, the above the rim receiver who can really high point the ball well, I think he might make Bills fans forget that Diggs is no longer on the team.
I think that's true. You know, the guy is he's a fluid mover. The concern about him is that he doesn't attack the ball in the air, so he could be better with contested catches. But it seems to me that with this Bills offense, they need guys who can get themselves open against man-to-man coverage, because what I'm hearing is Joe Brady does not scheme people open very well. So I think that AD Mitchell is a guy who can probably win with size. He can win with quicks, and he's a dude who can show himself to the quarterback regularly.
Yeah, I think the Bills, you mentioned some valid points against him, and that's and I want to preface all of this conversation, like I kind of alluded to earlier, that Jamie and I, like every episode we do, we bring you a fan perspective. You know, we're not out there like Dane Brugler breaking down game film consistently, you know, night in and night out. But Jamie brought up some really good concerns that the Bills might have about drafting an AD Mitchell. And that's why for my exercise, Jamie, I had Mitchell as somebody I like, but I'm not enamored with. I'm not smitten enough. It depends on the value of where he is. And if he makes it to 28, I wouldn't have any issues with the Bills taking him. But for my first guy, I'm going to toss out there, he's someone I am absolutely in love with, an offensive prospect that would be a game changer. And I say his name knowing that the Bills are going to have to trade up to get him.
I know where you're going.
All right, buddy, spill the beans. Who is my guy?
Brian Thomas Jr.
Bing, 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 bing. LSU's talented wide receiver. And I say this because, and I say this with even more conviction now that the Bills have that second rounder in next year's draft as a result of the Diggs trade to Houston. I'm Brandon Bean right now. What I want with my first round pick is I know this is a very deep wide receiver class. And when you talk to the experts out there, when you read the opinions, they'll tell you that this class easily goes 15, 16, 17 deep who are going to be really good players in the NFL. But there's only two or three that are supposed to be game changers, game breakers, difference makers at the wide receiver spot. And you're not going to be able to trade up high enough to get Marvin Harrison Jr. You're not going to be able to trade up high enough to get anybody above him, Romeo, Odunze from Washington, Malik Nabers, the LSU teammate. It's going to cost a king's ransom to move up to get them. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is that guy who, if you're going to make a move up for a difference maker, this is the guy you do it for. And it's not just because he led all of football in touchdown receptions last year with 17. He is really, in the spread offense that LSU ran, that translates very well to what I think the Buffalo Bills can operate out of. With the Bills don't need slot receiver help. They need help in the X position. They need help in the boundary wide receiver positions. And you look at what Brian Thomas Jr. brings. He's incredibly athletic. He's tall at over 6'3". He can outrun a lot of the speedster cornerbacks that he went up against. His catch rate is phenomenal, and he has fantastic yards after the catch ability. He's an outstandingly already polished wide receiver option. I think, to me, Jamie, depending what the price is, I'm willing to trade up dramatically into, let's say, it might take you going up into 15, 16, 17 range to get Thomas, but sign me up every day of the week.
In a TikTok video that I saw today,
Malik Nabers
was asked where Brian Thomas Jr. was going to go. And Malik Nabers said, oh, he's going to be a Buffalo Bill. So obviously there have been conversations had. I'm willing to bet that the Buffalo Bills told Brian Thomas Jr., hey, we are going to trade up for you.
I would love everything about that if that comes true, because you clearly just heard me gushing. Jamie, I could go on for 20 minutes about Brian Thomas and how much I'm enamored with him. Is there anything that concerns you about him?
Yes. And it's only because of personal experience, but when I look at film of Brian Thomas Jr. when he's making receptions, that route tree has been one route every single time. It's been a 9. It's been him just running straight down the field past the defensive back. I haven't seen his ability to get open in short to medium routes. That's all.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I should have mentioned with the route tree. He could use some improvement with those crossing patterns, but I don't know how much the Bills are going to ask him in their offense with Curtis Samuel and with Khalil Shakir and whoever else they end up drafting. I feel like with the development that Thomas has, he can learn. He can become I don't think this is a version essentially of Gabe Davis 2.0. I want to put that out there for the record. I don't think you have to worry about Thomas not developing the route running skills that Davis really kind of lacked in his time with Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I once again, you have convinced me that this is the way to go. I'm very malleable when it comes to our conversations. It is so common for you to convince me of something I otherwise didn't believe beforehand.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, and I just try to bring some, these are just little thoughts I have, and none of these, even Marvin Harrison is not a perfectly polished product at the wide receiver spot. Every one of these receivers has a small thing or two they can work on. I just love the price point and the bang for the buck that it would take to go up and get Brian Thomas.
So I would like to ask a question here though.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody has gushed about what a great receiver class this is. It's like, oh, it's one of the best in years and on and on and on. Well, we have heard this in the past with other position groups. I'm thinking of the 2021 quarterback class in which five QBs were drafted in the first round, especially right up in the top 10, and only one of them remains on the team that selected him because the rest have flamed out. Is this... Like, I guess, what is the possibility that we end up looking at this class and saying, wow, everybody really misjudged them?
I think you're more likely to see receivers drafted in like the third and fourth round, maybe outperforming some of the receivers who are selected at the end of the first or the second round. And I'm kind of thinking of guys like, I don't know, there's some big names up there that are being bantied about. You know, like the Bills and Troy Franklin, or the Bills with Xavier Worthy, you know, some of the smaller receivers out there, they might get outperformed by guys like Jalen Polk or guys like Malachi Corley. I think that's where this wide receiver position gets confusing, because the guys at the back, the 15 to 20 range, might outperform and be better value picks than the reaches, the guys who, again, are more gifted physically, but maybe don't have that route running ability as some of the other options. That's kind of where I think you might see some discrepancy in the draft class.
Got it. Well, that leads me to the next person on my list of players that I would be happy with the Bills drafting it late in round one. Center Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. Now, I do hear that the media is higher on this guy than NFL scouts are. However, everything I've seen from him, he has elite power, but can move. The guy can, he can play center or guard in both a man or gap blocking scheme. Also, he's a zone blocker. He can basically do anything you ask of him. And the number of videos I've seen of him pancaking people and playing with a fierce, nasty attitude makes me want to sign up for this guy, because when the Bills improved their offensive line this past season, we saw tremendous dividends right out of the gate. And I don't know if I'm sold on David Edwards as of yet, but it's the kind of thing where, and my buddy Big Newt says this all the time, you usually don't miss on offensive line prospects, because if you're a good blocker, you're a good blocker, and that translates.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that's where I'm glad you brought up JPJ. I want to dive into him a little bit here, too, because he actually was one of my to give our audience some background on this. I only came into this exercise with three positions targeting, and they're wide receiver, guard / center, and tackle. I think the Bills need to heavily invest this draft in the interior of their offensive line and their wide receiver position. And I'd like to see a tackle brought in as well. And for everything that Jamie mentioned, the David Edwards experiment moving to left guard, you're taking Connor McGovern to center, a position he's played very sparingly. I think he has 18 snaps in the NFL at center. So this interior is a sneaky area of need for the Buffalo Bills. And JPJ, man, he is phenomenal as a prospect. I mean, I wouldn't be upset at all if Buffalo goes in and takes him at 28. He's such an established player in the trenches. He was a star at the Senior Bowl. He's a great combo of agility and size. Jamie, this guy is 334 pounds, and he excels at downhill blocking. Imagine some of the pin and pull schemes that Aaron Cromer could execute, having a behemoth like JPJ on this team.
Yeah, and that would make him, at his size, one of the biggest centers in the history of the NFL. Imagine that.
The Bills could be revolutionary if they bring in Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. I like him a lot, Jamie. I feel like you're right, though, too. Blocking carries over. Blocking is not something that has to travel, you know, with you. It's about ethic. Work ethic, and it's about agility and footwork. And I think that you never go wrong. It's not a sexy pick, but man, the Bills, right, with this wide receiver class being as deep as it is, why not hit at a position that might be a little scarcer to find, like the interior of the O-line?
Amen, buddy.
Well, I will give you total credit for JPJ because you mentioned him first, and he obviously is someone that you have done good research on. He's listed as a center according to a lot of the draft prospect sites, but he honestly, Jamie, could move to one of the guard spots too. I mean, right. I think he's going to play as a center, but he also could rotate around. He's got the flexibility to be a center or a guard in a zone or a man gap blocking concept. So I think you've got some flexibility.
And we know that the Bills love their versatility when it comes to their linemen on both sides of the ball.
Yes, they definitely do. And so JPJ is a really solid interior offensive lineman candidate. The guy I'm going to mention next, Jamie, is someone who is not a guy I want the Bills to take at pick 28, but I feel like he'd be a good day two contributor. And he's also on the interior of the offensive line. And he has got an area of expertise that just really tugs at Sean McDermott's heartstrings. Do you know where I'm going with this one?
I don't.
Guard Zach Frazier out of West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And you know why? It's his skills are phenomenal. He can be a center, a starting center. He's versatile in the schemes he can contribute to. But before I rattle off what I like about his measurables, Zach Frazier is a four-time West Virginia high school state wrestling champion.
Mm-hmm.
We know McDermott loves his wrestlers. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek because clearly you don't draft somebody at pick 60 solely because they're a wrestler, but it shows McDermott likes the character that is displayed by these wrestlers. And then you factor in that of all the snaps that Frazier took at West Virginia as a three-time captain, he allowed zero sacks and was second team All-American last year. His pressure rate against 1.1%. He's got a phenomenal combination of athleticism, footwork, and agility and strength. And for when you're talking about the interior of the offensive line, you want someone who is a versatile guy who can recognize and excel in the different schemes out there. I think Zach Frazier is a phenomenal addition in day two.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I've seen highlights of him. I can't say I watched film of him. And I love what I see. Same sort of things that we said about JPJ, the agility, the power, the nasty streak, it's all there. And the way the NFL is going is defenses are sending pressure packages up the middle. I'm becoming a stronger and stronger believer that you build your offensive line from the center out. And with the Bills having locked up Deion Dawkins for the foreseeable future, it seems like there's not a lot of need on that offensive line right now. But if you can level up, well, I'm all for it. And I think that would be a great selection on day two.
Well, thanks, buddy. Trying to speculate on some realistic prospects out there that the Bills could go after.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we've each given you two of our candidates that we like on the offensive side of the ball. Jamie, let's try to do a little bit more of a lightning round with our next. We're going to give five players total, roughly, for prospects that we like on the offensive side of the ball. Who do you want to go to next?
I would like to go with Ladd McConkey. And I'll tell you why with a caveat. This is under the assumption that the Bills are going to add an X or a boundary receiver sometime before or after the draft, because Ladd McConkey is not going to be a jump ball type of receiver. But according to Greg Cosell, he's a plug and play kind of player. And outside of the top three, Greg Cosell thinks that McConkey is going to be the one who is the most ready on day one. And hey, that's not a bad thing, right?
That is definitely not a bad thing, especially again with Diggs, you know, being gone. If the Bills, I'm telling you right now, Jamie, the Bills are going to draft, in my opinion, two, maybe three, who knows, maybe four wide receivers with their, probably not four, but I could see Brandon Bean taking two or three wide receivers from this class to add to the receiver room. Ladd McConkey, it's an interesting case because we talked about the route running abilities of Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell. I think McConkey, of all the runners out there, has the best route running skills of any receiver in the class.
Yes, absolutely. It just seems like he's open no matter what, and he just confuses the hell out of defensive backs. Steve Tasker was talking about him yesterday. It's like he places the defender. They talk about that apparently. It's like you put the defender in one place while you are elsewhere. It's kind of a funny concept, but you see it in this guy's game all the time.
I like that pick. I like the addition of McConkey. I love, you'll get exactly what I'm saying when I say this. I love the player comps for Ladd McConkey and how they reference, oh, his work ethic and he's quicker and faster than you think he would be. No, the guy is just a darn good wide receiver. And if the Bills go off there and get McConkey, I think he'd be a value add for sure.
Cool. Where are you going next, buddy?
I'm also sticking with the wide receiver position, but this is somebody I think that's not going to be a number 28 pick. I think it's someone the Bills would go after in the second round of the draft. But for me, the guy I'm hyping up big time is Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina.
Love it.
So what I like about him, he's got that prototypical size speed combination that you're looking for out of a wide receiver. He's 6'1", 221. There's legit breakout potential around Leggett. There are some questions too about his abilities. He doesn't have the best route running talents of some of the receivers that we mentioned at the very top of the class, but his athleticism is intriguing. So is the blend of size and speed. His instincts are really good on the field. And I feel like when you talked about the freight train prospect of somebody who is an athletic wide receiver gaining yards after the catch in spades, I think Xavier Leggett could really be that guy. He's built like a linebacker. He's quicker than your typical linebacker might be. And he's athletic. He can go up and get the ball. He does need work, again, on the route running tendencies. But, man, this guy could be a real solid potential add for the Bills. Early to mid second round, I'm thinking.
I like him a lot, and I think you're dead on. If you weren't going to select him next, I was going to. Because I just think that the guy has a world of potential. And, you know, there's not a lot of people that come out of college ready when it comes to technique in the NFL. These are people that can get coached up. If you get coached up, well, you could be good. Now, it kind of comes down to what is his makeup? Is he coachable like we've seen Josh Allen be? you know, I hear good things about him, and I think he's going to end up being a good player.
And one of the things, Jamie, I want to mention too, is the fact that what's one area that the Bills really were lacking in from their receivers last year?
Well, size and deep ability.
Correct. The ability to make contested catches. And that's really what I think Xavier Leggett would bring to the table. He's got great tackle breaking abilities. He's great in catching passes in traffic. So for me, Xavier Leggett is my third offensive player that I am crushing on. Who is your next one, buddy? You got two left.
Sticking with wide receiver, I'm going with Roman Wilson of Michigan. And, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, what they write about him is in a different class, Wilson would be much higher on the rankings. He's not only brings NFL level speed, but also NFL level determination at the catch point and when blocking. We know that the Bills like their downfield blocking. So at 192 pounds, at 6 feet tall, he's got a thick frame for a receiver. And it's interesting because the size of receivers seem to be going in the other direction. But this guy is he's solidly built, and he, to me, has the ability to be a receiver who can get himself open. And so whoever selects him is going to look back on the 2024 season and say, wow, this guy really had a lot of receptions.
Is there any wild card, anything you're concerned with about him?
Yeah, he kind of looks to me like he's going to be more of a... At times, he looks like he's going to be more of a role player than an alpha, like number one receiver. But I don't know enough about him to have picked that apart completely.
I was just curious because I think it's a valid exercise to go through for us and mention both our, you know, the players we like, and then if there is any sort of, you know, drawback to them. So I appreciate your honesty on that one.
Yeah. I'm here to tell the truth, buddy.
Well, for me, my fifth one's going to be another wide receiver. I don't want to bore our audience with all this wide receiver talk back to back to back. So spoiler alert, my last one is also a wideout. My next one I'm going to bring up to you, I don't necessarily know, Jamie, where you would have to go to get this guy. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he would be a second round selection. You might have to go up and get him at the end of the first round, but I really like Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
Had a feeling you were going to go there because that was going to be my next one.
Buddy, we think alike sometimes, more often than not. But we're always on the same wavelength with these types of discussions here. And what I like about Guyton is, again, when you're talking about the offensive tackle position, you want to find your measurables. You want to find the blocking skills that will carry over, but you also want to look at the intangibles. And this guy is 6'8", 322, but he is so fluid with his movement, and yet he can punch you in the face. He's an explosive blocker. He's really good on the pulls and the trap plays. I think Guyton would be a really intriguing prospect if the Bills were to, again, get him in like the early to mid second round as that raw but high potential, high athleticism for an offensive tackle.
He's one of the absolute most athletic offensive linemen out there, and we know the Bills are really looking at raw athletic score and length when it comes to their tackles these days. So he's very much in the Spencer Brown mold there, except he's far more polished than Spencer Brown was coming out of college. So I really like it. I think that he is I'm going to call him the Dalton Kincaid of tackles because of how smooth he moves out there. He does have some negatives in the run game, though. You would, as you can imagine, a player of his height, there at times he allows defenders to get under his pad level, which, you know, when it comes to leverage, that's never a good thing. But when it comes to pass blocking, those long arms that he has, they certainly work in his favor.
And I believe Guyton's one of the guys who is already, I think he played at 340 at one point. So he's already shed 18 plus pounds. Maybe he can continue losing the weight, become a little more of a better run blocker. I'll tell you this. if you're going to come to a team to learn how to become a better run blocker, Aaron Kromer is a great place to start as far as a coaching role model.
Yep, I'm 100% on board with that.
All right, Jamie, who is your last one? Round out our podcast. Who is your fifth offensive prospect?
Okay, this might surprise you a little bit. It's a receiver.
What?
Yep, I have Keon Coleman.
Okay.
And the reason I have Keon Coleman, despite his terrible testing numbers when it comes to like the 40-yard dash, his play speed, and they measured him when he was running the gauntlet at the combine. He was running the gauntlet at over 20 miles per hour. Players that were 2-3 tenths of a second faster than him were going slower on that drill. That is play speed, and that's what's important. And he's a tremendous all-around athlete. He's got leaping ability. His agility is decent. His route tree is pretty good. The one issue that he's going to have is he doesn't separate real well. So he's going to end up being the kind of player who you have to throw to when he's covered, because he has the ability to fight defenders for the ball. Now, is that something that the Bills are comfortable with? That I'm not sure. But the lack of separation means that if the Bills aren't into that, which it doesn't seem like they are, they may pass on him, but he could still be a good player.
It's really hard to argue with Keon Coleman. His freaky ball handling skills. Again, he's one of those contested catch guys who is big and physical and go up and come down, you know, with the play. He's incredibly fast. You mentioned the game speed abilities. Where do you think a guy like Keon Coleman would have to get selected to find his way to Buffalo?
I think it would end up having to be third round.
Third round. So you're not thinking he would be available or selected even before, even on day high second round pick.
I don't think he would be a high second round pick. No, he's going to be end of second.
Okay.
High third. Enough.
Well, Jamie, you mentioned another wide receiver, and I told you I'm going to tease you with a wide receiver as my fifth and final offensive prospect. My guy is also, I think he's not as highly viewed as Keon Coleman, but I think his potential and his reliable production would make him a really good number two wide receiver in the league. I'm going with Jalen Polk out of Washington.
Okay.
And here's why I like Jalen Polk. I think he's going to fall further down the draft board than some of your more hyped wide receivers, because Romeo Odunze is the one who drew all the attention and all the love catching the deep balls from Michael Penix Jr. Well, Polk last year, 69 passes, 1,519 yards, 9 touchdowns. Those are incredibly impressive numbers. And he's 6'2", 204. He could eventually be a wide receiver one on an offense, but I think he's a really solid number two wide receiver option. He again has that really unbelievable vertical ability. He's great at going up and getting the ball in traffic, coming down with big catches when he's faced against physical corners. He can separate on his own. He's not the best athlete, and he's not as explosive as my other two wide receiver picks I mentioned, but I think he's really able to get separation in spite of that. And his route running is pretty darn solid. So I will say Jalen Polk is my fifth and final offensive prospect that I am enamored with.
Great. And you know, when it comes to the second round, I want to give an honorable mention of Javon Baker from Central Florida. I think he looks good, but I have to tell you a couple of players that I would probably warn people about.
Yeah, who is your red flag stay away from prospect or two?
Yes. Two. Xavier Worthy. All-worldly speed, but does he have anything other than the speed? And the other one is Troy, what's his last name?
Oh, Franklin.
Yeah, Troy Franklin. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Man, watching him at the combine, he's not a natural catch. He doesn't catch the ball naturally. And if you're a receiver, your number one job is to catch the ball, and he just doesn't look like it's something he's going to do well.
Yeah, Franklin kind of concerns me. I don't know. There's a couple of guys, and Xavier Worthy, if the Bills didn't already have Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel, I would maybe give Worthy a little bit of a longer look, but the Bills don't need three of the same slot type receivers, you know, to line up for Josh Allen to throw the ball to. So I'm a little skeptical of his abilities out there. I would say that definitely put a red flag up before drafting Xavier Worthy, especially with some of the way these mocks are going, with him going towards the end of the first, early second. I think that's a bit of an overreach in my estimation.
Somebody's going to draft him way too high because of that speed.
Remember John Ross?
Do I ever?
I'm not saying that Worthy is the next John Ross, but you know, the late Al Davis used to love to draft players solely based on speed. I would have loved to see how he would have overreacted to Xavier Worthy's. Again, he's incredibly fast, but being fast doesn't mean you actually can catch the ball and make plays afterwards. So I would caution Bills fans to not fall in love with Xavier Worthy. One other player, Jamie, real quick, I want to mention, again, for someone who I think the Bills might want to do some homework on in the second round, potentially. Maybe he's more beginning of the second round, but do your research on Graham Barton from Duke. I think he could be a really versatile. Again, he's a center who's physical. He's 6'5", 313. He has everything you want to look for in a guy to lead and anchor the offensive line. Definitely worth doing your homework on Graham Barton as well.
Okay.
Well, Bills fans, we've given you, gosh, we've been doing this for 45 minutes and we've had fun every step of the way. We want to hear your feedback. What are your thoughts on the Bills prospects we mentioned? And who are some of the offensive players you're enamored with heading into the draft? Jamie is at the Jamie D'Amico and I am at John Boccacino. We'll be back next week doing the defensive prospects we love here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.